2 Chronicles 11. I want to talk about fickleness and how fickle people can be. And not simply just fickle, but how people can actually change. You take verse 8. Gath was now to be under the control of Rehoboam. Well, Gath, of course, was where Goliath came from. And it surely can't be talking about the other Gath that's up in Dan, because Dan was not under Rehoboam's control. He only had Benjamin and Judah under his control. So this town that was the hometown of Goliath just a couple of generations before, and it had David living there, and then all their business with Achish. Actually, these people became some of the strongest supporters of David, even though they were Philistines. And now this becomes a town that is firmly supportive of Rehoboam, David's grandson. And you see how people can change. And yet also in verse 12, you notice that Judah and Benjamin are definitely with Rehoboam. And Benjamin, of course, had been from the tribe from which Saul came. And they had been so against Judah just, a generation or so before. And now they are welded together with Judah. They are totally loyal to the line of David against the rest of Israel who are following Jeroboam. And so what you see then is that really people can change, and yet they can also be so fickle. And you think of the crowds crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save now," because they like to imagine that the Jesus who was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey was in fact the messianic deliverer from the Romans that they like to imagine. They put all their expectations onto him. They fell in love with an image that they just projected onto a person. And when they found that actually he as the person was very different to their image, then they start screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." And the people then who got Jesus crucified are then the same people who are cut to the heart when Peter stands up, starts preaching 40 days later, 3,000 of them get baptized. The population of Jerusalem was probably not much bigger than 10,000. It was not, population sizes were not big. Look at Joachim Jeremias' work, Jerusalem in the Time of Jesus. He argues very persuasively, really, for a figure of about 10,000. And 3,000 people get baptized. This is really quite impressive. And yet this was the city which had killed Jerusalem. Jerusalem is stated as the city that killed Jesus. So people are fickle, and we are fickle. You see it all around you. People are in love one minute, they're in hatred the next minute. They are supporting one political movement one minute, and then over a period of years, they go off and support something else. And yet at the time, you don't perceive that. At the time, you think, no, this is what I genuinely believe. But we are fickle. There is something within us that is not stable. And here is where the gospel and God's word and the things of God and his kingdom and his son impart an absolute solidity to human life, which I think nothing else can. Think of the man who built his house upon the rock, and it was not shaken by anything. This is the person who understood, heard, and did according to what Jesus says. And there's a lot of absolute instability in people's lives, in their relationships, in their thinking, in their whole being. Whereas there should be a solidity that is in our lives because we have a sure rock-like hope. Look at a lot of the metaphors that are used for the hope that we have, an anchor of the soul. In other words, we are not drifting. That's in Hebrews. You think of Mount Zion, which is founded on a rock and cannot be shaken. We, Paul says, Hebrews 12, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken even by an earthquake. An unmovable hope. Immovable hope. All these sort of metaphors are all suggesting a picture of absolute stability. of peace. And you can only really have meaningful peace if you have that sense of stability. And so how do you get that sense of stability? Well, I believe it is by believing in the good news of the gospel that by God's grace, we really will be saved. If you don't know, finally, the outcome of this life, if you cannot confidently say that if you die right now or Jesus comes right now, I will by his grace be in his kingdom, if you can't say that, well, what stability do you have? Just a big question mark at the end of your existence, which of course results in big question marks in your own deepest heart over your whole existence day by day, minute by minute. Whereas if you are secured in Christ, if you are secured in his love, and if you know him, and that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, and he is coming again for me, and I shall, by his grace, live forever. This is truly, as Paul says, an anchor of the soul. And you think of, as I say, all those examples we looked at, starting in 2 Chronicles 11, with things at the time of Rehoboam and Benjamin drifting in their loyalty from Saul to David, etc., and Gath from the Philistines to David, etc. And they drifted off again after this. You see all the instability in the history of Israel. You see how human history is really just shifting sands. Whatever seems a solid empire never lasts. Everything turns and time and tide happen to everything. And this is where having the hope of eternal life in God's eternal kingdom, which will eternally be here on this earth, this is truly something totally different. And it's that which I think imparts stability to our relationships with each other. If you are in relationship with those who likewise will be there, then you're together forever in this life and in the life eternal. It gives us stability in our hearts that we know finally that God is good, that he wants to save me in my latter end, and I have 100% committed my heart in trust that that shall be for me. This gives a peace and a stability that passes all understanding.